She blessed me with more of her than I really wanted at the moment, but it was hers, so I took it too. Praise God. But know this, you are greater than who you think you are, because the greater one dwells within you. And you know, we say that. You know how easy it is to say that? Oh yeah, the Holy Spirit's in me. Yeah, I know that. Jesus in me. Yeah, I know that. The hope of glory. Yeah, I know. It's Christ in me. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of Man. Yeah, I know all that. But do we really know it? Do we really know that? Do you really believe and know that the very Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in your mortal bodies right now? If he does, what does that mean? Why would my life be different because he's in me or not in me? What difference is there? Is there a difference? If you woke up tomorrow morning and the Holy Spirit wasn't in you, would you know the difference? How would you know? Are you sure? I was thinking on the way coming in here this morning, and I thought to myself, what was it like before Christ came into me? Oh, we know some circumstances. Don't get me wrong. We know some of the things we did that by the grace of God we don't do any longer. We know that. We know all the junk. Doesn't matter what it is. We know those things. But could you really go back and remember what it was like that the Holy Spirit wasn't dwelling in you? You woke up on a Sunday morning. You probably went and got a newspaper, or the newspaper was delivered, whatever. You got out there, made your cup of coffee, and complained because the donuts weren't there or whatever. And you took your cup of coffee and your newspaper and you sat down, or you turned the TV on and watched the news, or you did this or you did that. Right? I mean, we know Christians right now. I know Christians right now are doing that right now today. But can you remember how empty it was without him? I mean, we can say it, but think back on it. If there was a difference, if there was a significant change, of inward change, I'm not talking about not doing this, not doing that, but there was an empty before and now there's a filling. Something in there changed. If it did, if there was that significant change and we recognized it, what's it mean? And if that change happened, how important is it to you today? So many years from that point. Is it as fresh? And is it longing that causes you to long for more and more? You remember when you first got him? When he first came and dwelt within you? It caused you such a hunger to know him, to know more, to be in his presence, to read the word, to pray, to be at church, to be around other believers. What happens? Where did we miss? Did he change? Is he the same yesterday, today, and forever? He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Amen. What is it that causes something to change in us? That allows this very presence of Almighty God that dwells within us becomes less important to us today than it was on the day of salvation. And we got to stop and think of those things. We got to stop and consider it. Don't let him become so familiar to you that he's just there and that's it. Nothing more, nothing less. I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, that's what he's there for. No, it's so much more than that. He wants you to be able to say while you walk this earth, if you see me, you see Jesus. When Jesus walked the earth, what did he say? You see me, you see the Father. Why did he say that? Because he does all those things that the Father did? Spoke only those things his Father spoke? Yes. But it was because the Spirit of God, the very presence of God, was dwelling in him. That's what he was saying to the people. In me is the Father dwelling. In you is the Father dwelling. The creator of the universe, the one who raised the dead, the one who's going to glorify your mortal bodies, who's going to raise you up to eternal life in heaven, is dwelling in you right now. Think about it. And think about how many of our brothers and sisters are suffering. How many of us are going to doctors? And look, I'm not against doctors. Please give me, trust me, I'm not. But I'm not talking about physical doctors necessarily. But depression and oppression, fear, anxieties, care, all the worries that the world has, and compounded upon all other things that are going on in our lives. And look what's happening to the church. The church right now has the same or a greater divorce rate than the world. And the church has the Spirit of the living God dwelling in them. Think about it. The same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And because of that, well, let's look at it real quick. You know these scriptures, but let's remind ourselves. John 3, go there, please. Hallelujah. Here's the day that Jesus was... met by a rabbi called Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a leader of the Jewish nation. And he came to Jesus and said, I know you're from God. We all know it. All the leaders of Israel knew it. He said, we know you're from God because no man could do these things unless God had sent him and was with him. People will deny the Christ that you speak of. But they cannot deny the Christ that's in you. Because when you start operating in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit of God, they cannot deny this only can be done by God. So God must be with you. Amen? You can tell them about Jesus, they can deny him. But they can't deny it when you're walking in the Spirit and operating as God instructed you to operate, and they start to see the signs and the wonders and the miracles. Hallelujah. Look at verse 3. Well, let's start in 1. Why not? There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Remember what he said, the Holy Spirit will be what? In you and with you. In you to do the work, to transform you into the image of Christ, with you to perform the signs and wonders that convinces others that Christ is in you. Amen? But you have to embrace him in both parts. You have to embrace him, first of all, the inward embracing. You have to accept the fact that he's in you and that he is working to do a greater work in you than you can do in yourself. And I don't care how good you are, how smart you are, how perfect you are in all your ways. You're never as good until the Holy Spirit is finished than you were before he started. People can do good works on their own. But they can't do the good work in them on their own. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from. Goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. In other words, unless you're born again, what we talk about, everything that we say, it means nothing. Unless you're born again, just because you say, I'm born again, does not make you born again. No more so than when you stand in the garage and say, I'm a car because I'm in a garage. Makes you a car. A Christian is not a Christian because they say they're a Christian. That's why he said that you will know them by their fruit. You'll know that you will see in them that love, that joy, that peace, that gentleness, kindness, patience, self-control, long-suffering, endurance. These are the things that God says, you see this working in a person's life, then you must know that my Holy Spirit is dwelling within them. If you are truly born of God, you have taken on not only the attributes, but the very DNA of God. Just as you are born now of a mother and father of this earthly realm, and you have a fleshly realm, you take on the DNA of your parents. And you can look at the children and say, oh, I know, they must be part of that family, or they must be part of that family. Because they look exactly like their parents. For Christians who truly have the DNA of God, they take on the very character and attributes of Almighty God. It's not a work of the flesh. It's not something you have to do. It's the very essence of who you are. You don't take it. It doesn't come from the outside. You can't dress in a certain way to make it that way. You can't walk a certain way to say it's that way. You can't talk a certain way. It just comes out. You are who you are. If you are your father's son and daughter, that's who you are. And everybody else around you can say different, but you know in your heart, I know who I belong to. You take on the character. The DNA of God. His very life, his very mind, his heart, his longings, his dreams, they all live within you. You start looking at things differently. You don't look at it no longer as someone who is an orphan out there without hope for a future. You don't start looking at the world and say, that's what I want. The world all of a sudden just becomes a place where God has sent you not to play, but to work. It's a place where the Father looks upon the children that he created, not the children, but the creation that he had. And he's always looking for someone who will go tell them about how wonderful he is. How marvelous he is. What it means to be free in Christ. You're no longer a slave to emotions and feelings and cares and fears. You're not a slave to money or not money. He sets you free to walk in this land, in this earth, as a free spirit. Free of all the encumbrances, of all the cares and the pettiness of this world. You see things so much differently, so clear. Your eyes are open to truth. Where other ones are starting to treat, and you look at people and as they operate and they do things that you know is contrary. You look at somebody, we were talking to someone the other day, and we were talking about people of homosexual stance, and they were saying how that this one he was talking about specifically went through going through a difficult time. I said, yeah, I know. Everyone who's in sin goes through a difficult time. See, the world paints us as homophobic or anti-homosexual. No, we're not. We love them. We love them. They're welcome in this church any day of the week. Twice on Sunday. I may only be here once, but be twice on Sunday. Not because they're here, I won't be here, because we don't have a Sunday service Sunday night. And I said to him, I said, you know, that's the hard part. Because we are so caught up in our emotions and our feelings and what other people say that we can't see truth. And so we're moved by other people's and their activities or non-activities. I said, we love people, all people. We love everybody. There's not a person in this world that is beyond the reach of God's love. And the only beyond our reach, if you're carrying that DNA, you carry the DNA of God's love in you. And God reached out so far that he sent his son. He sent his son to touch the people that he couldn't touch himself. And then he sent his Holy Spirit to fill you so that you can touch the people that he couldn't touch with his love. That's what this is about. It's not about getting people to go to church. It's about bringing the church to the people and saying, Jesus loves you. He loves you unconditionally, just as you are, just as you were, you are. Jesus loves you. And stop trying to become something that only the Holy Spirit in you can create. Stop fighting a battle that's already been won. Victory has already been assured. Jesus denied the existence of death and its power over you. Glory to God. God's DNA is in you, and it's not going to change. 2 Corinthians, go there. Now, you can have the DNA of God in you and not experience the very presence of God in you. I can have, and I do have, the DNA of my mother and father. My mother's in heaven. My father's in Florida. Pretty close together. Nah. They're my parents. My physical parents. I can deny the fact that they're my parents. I can do that. Matter of fact, even though they're my parents, I don't have to have communication with them. I don't have to interact with them. Right? He's in Florida now. My father's in Florida. My mother's in heaven. I don't have to have interaction with my father. I don't have to talk to him. I don't have to acknowledge him. I have to spend time with him. Yeah, he's my father, but I don't need to do. I don't want anything to do with him. Just as you and I have the DNA of our Heavenly Father, doesn't mean you have to have communication with him. Spend time with him. You can say, yeah, he's my father, but never have an interaction with him. Never experience his presence. Never listen to him. Never talk to him. And sometimes we can have that interaction, but all we do is say, I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. We're never asking, what do you want? We can do those things. But don't be surprised if the void between you and him becomes wider and wider. Not because of his part. Do you remember the story about the prodigal son? He said he got his inheritance and went off and did his own thing out there. The father never chastised him, never put him down, never said anything. He didn't send people after him and come back home, hurry up, we're waiting for you. No. He just watched for his return. You need to know this. If you're not there, If this world and the things of this world have more hold on you and you're focused more on Him, on this world, than on God, don't be surprised that God isn't waiting for you to come back. And don't be surprised when all of a sudden things start going south. Because God's just going to let you go. A lot of people in the church see the presence of God and then they go off, do their own thing, and then all of a sudden when things aren't going right, they wonder, where's God? He hasn't changed. He hasn't moved. He's just been waiting for you to come back. Just waiting for you to come back. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 13. Hallelujah. I hope and pray by the end of this that you're blessed. Hallelujah. Paul writing to the Corinthian church. The grace of the Lord, chapter 13, verse 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion, that word communion, if you look, mine, I got the New King James, if you look next to it, it says fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. What's he saying to us? He's saying to us, I want you to learn to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That means interaction. Remember at the end of service, many times they have something out in the other room, and they have food, and they have drinks, and they have, what happens? People sit together, and they start fellowshipping together. They start interacting with one another. And that's what God is saying to us. That's what Paul was praying for them, that you would learn to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Sit and talk to Him. Sit and listen to Him. Because fellowship means there's an interaction. That means that I talk to Him and He talks to me. Learn to hear His voice. There's things that God wants to do in our lives that it's going to take time. And again, I want to emphasize this. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. If God wanted to do what He wanted to do in each and every one of us immediately, we'd all fall apart and die. We couldn't handle the glory of God that He's producing in us. We couldn't handle the power of God that He wants to release in us. It can't happen. And God isn't going to take His power and give it to a baby. Can you imagine? You've got a .22 pistol, and you got a year-old child, and you give it to the baby and tell him to go play. No. And God isn't foolish. God's very smart. He's going to show the power He has for us, but He isn't releasing it until we grow and mature enough to be able to handle it, not foolishly, but wisely. So get to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Lord, why isn't this happening when I pray this way? Why doesn't this happen? When I ask, how come I don't receive? When I seek, how come I don't find it? What is it, Father? What is there in right now? Come on, show me. What is separating me from every promise that You've ever given in this word? Show me, Lord. If it's mine, how come I'm not seeing it? What do you think God's going to say to you? Here's the easy way out. Well, it must not be God's will. Well, if He said it's His will, then it's His will. His will for you is not different from His will for me. We were talking early before service. Does God want everybody to be saved? Yes. Well, how come not everybody be saved? Because not everybody wants to be saved. I don't know what to tell you. The Bible says they don't like the righteousness of God because they love the evil deeds that they're doing. They like doing those things. They don't want God. That doesn't mean God doesn't want them. God loves them. God has given His Son for them. He stands there waiting for them to accept His outstretched love. But they choose not to. Does that mean that God can't and won't reach them? No. We don't know. All we know is this. God loves them. Amen? God loves you. Just because we don't see the fullness of all the promises coming to pass in our lives doesn't mean that God hasn't said yes and amen to them. It just means that we haven't reached that point yet where we can receive for whatever reason. Remember what I said to you, was it last week? We talked about it. That God doesn't say no. He said yes and amen. All right. Mike Bickle, the director of International House of Prayer, said, you will walk in the Spirit to the degree that you talk to the Spirit. Amen. As long as I keep communication open with my wife, even though it's not as communicative as we'd like to be at times, because whatever reasons, as long as we keep that communication open, we're going to walk together through life. The moment we shut down communication between each other is when a separation begins. As long as you will keep communication with the Holy Spirit, keep talking to Him and listening to Him, just spend time with Him, you're going to find that pretty soon you're going to have a closer walk with Him than ever before. How do we do that? Well, there's one gentleman that we're going to talk a little bit about. Corey Russell wrote a book called The Glory Within. And I want to share a little bit from that with you. But he had something to say. He said this. He calls it the beholding and becoming principle. What we behold is what we become. I called it this, I told you before, if you can see it, you can receive it. And so once you behold this, once you understand the principle, once you understand the Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to have an interaction with Him, communication with Him, speak to Him, listen to Him. He is there right now waiting to bring you to a place you've never been before, to show you things you've never seen before, to speak to you mysteries you've never heard before. The little bit of things that we get off this pulpit is nothing compared to what He wants to show and reveal to you individually. God wants you to know Him and bring that knowledge to the fore so that others can know Him as you do. As we get it in our eyes and we start to look deep within and we start to search out for the Holy Spirit of God in you. Again, remember this. Your spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit and soul live in this tent, which is a body. Inside of there, along with you, if you're born again, is the Spirit of the living God in there. Matter of fact, we learned this on Wednesdays when you listened to it. He said, the spirit of man is a lamp to the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit takes our spirit and searches our inward parts and searches out those things that need to be changed or transformed or cleaned or removed or whatever needs to be fixed, whatever it is. So it's the Holy Spirit and you guys working together and me working together. We find it difficult, again, to understand the Spirit of God. We talk about Him, but we talk about Him as if He's a stranger to us, not a friend of ours. I was sitting there and praying about it this morning, and I do this quite often when I say to the Lord, Lord, I don't want to just know You. I want to be so connected to You that You can't see me where I end and where You begin. That we're so intertwined that we are so intertwined that when people see me, they see You. When they're looking for You, You can send them to me. Amen? It's not just about what am I going to do on Sunday. It's not just about the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit and all that. It isn't. It's about having a relationship with Him that you are closer than a brother. Jesus said when you do these things, you become My friend. A friend sits together, breaks bread together, talks, communicates with one another. All of a sudden, yes, Lord. All of a sudden, you'll be sitting saying something, you'll be thinking something, and the Spirit of God is so intertwined with your thoughts, with your desires, that it just changes. One moment you were thinking this way, and all of a sudden something happened, and just switched. Why? Because the Holy Spirit just started turning you into the direction that brings life. And what looks good on the outside doesn't mean it's right. Good works doesn't mean that it's good works. The good works that he speaks of here is the knowledge of God and doing the things that God instructs us to do by the Spirit. We can take things out of the Scriptures and do them, and do them thinking that we're doing the right thing, when in reality, we're doing the wrong thing. It's when you're led by the Spirit and walking in the Spirit that brings life to what this is all about. We don't bring life to this because of the works. It's because of the Spirit in us revealing to us the intent, not only the works, but the intent of what God intended for this. Hallelujah. So here this gentleman took a word, an acronym, so that you can have a way of thinking about having that communication and that walk with the Spirit where you interact with him. And he called it trust. Trust, T-R-U-S-T. The first T of trust means to say thank you. Start living a life filled with thanksgiving. Start talking to the Holy Spirit and tell him, Holy Spirit, I thank you. I thank you that you're in me. I thank you that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're leading me and guiding me. I thank you that you're drawing me closer to my Heavenly Father. As you continually learn to thank him for all the things that he's doing in your life, all the things he's already done. We could spend eternity just thanking him for all the things he did before. So learn to thank him. The first thing of trust is thanking him. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you made me your home. I was dead, now I'm alive. Thank you that I did nothing to deserve this. It is the free gift of God. I thank you that I am the temple of the living God. I thank you, Holy Spirit. Every day of my life, I thank you. The R stands for reign in me. R-E-I-G-N. In Romans 8:14, it says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. In other words, those who are under the government of the Holy Spirit are the sons of God. Most of us are led by our thoughts, emotions, desires, rather than by our spirits. In order to be led by the Holy Spirit, we must submit our souls to his governance. As we pray this prayer over time, the fire of God that dwells in our spirits will begin to break out of our inner selves and transform our thought lives. The Bible calls this the renewing of the mind. It changes our appetites, changes our emotional chemistry, and it will even transform our own will into his will. We learn to love what Jesus loves and hate what Jesus hates. So the first thing, the first T is thank you, Lord. Being thankful. The second is letting the Holy Spirit reign in you. This is one of the probably more difficult things to do. To distinguish between the will of God and the will of our own. Even though you want to reach out and do something, and God says, be still and know that I'm Lord. You can reach out and help somebody. You can reach out and help somebody with what you've got. Or you can wait on the Lord, hear his voice, let him tell you what to do, and watch as it compounds what you were about to do and makes it so much greater. God doesn't want you just to tell people about Jesus. God wants to share the very presence of Jesus with them through you. There's a difference, a big difference. A big difference. So first of all, thank Him. Then second of all, let the Holy Spirit reign in you. The U stands for use me. Ask for the release of the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of tongues, interpretation of tongues, the gift of prophecy, the gift of a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom, the gift of prophecy, what did I say, discerning of spirits was the first one, prophecy the second one, and then the gift of working of miracles and the gifts of healings and the gift of faith. Those 9 gifts are available to those who have the dwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in them. And so say to Him, use me today, Lord. Use me. And then you got to stop. And I tell you, I've gotten to this place. If somebody would come up front and God would use them to lay hands on the sick and they recover, I will gladly sit and watch. Or I'll back you up and pray with you. It doesn't have to be me. I don't care what it is. I want to see the Holy Spirit have His way. I want you to be used by the Holy Spirit. I want you to experience the very presence of God and how the joy that comes when you see somebody get healed or delivered or saved. It's not about us. And that's a battle over time. That's a battle because everybody wants to be used. And whether we like it or not, we got this certain amount of pride. And we like people to look on us and think, oh, how wonderful you are. We all have it. But as time goes on, and pretty soon you just get hid in Christ and you get hid in the Holy Spirit, pretty soon you don't care. We were in Texas when we went to that meeting. It was a wonderful time. We had a blessed time. And it was a beautiful place they've got there. I mean, it is gorgeous. Many, many buildings. And all the speakers were great. I think every one of them were talking about their airplanes they got for the ministry and all this stuff and that stuff. And I'm sitting there. I can remember a day I'd sit there and they'd talk about all the millions of dollars in the ministry and they're able to do this and do that. And I used to get jealous. I used to want what they had. And I sat there this time and I sat there and I said, quite content right where I'm at. I'm quite content. When I'm finished with this, when the race is finished and I'm finished, I'll stand before the Master and I'll say, Lord, I did it for you. There wasn't a time I thought that way. The time it was all about me. And it was a battle. And I can't say that it doesn't jump up every once in a while still. But the bottom of all things, use me, Lord. I'm a tool. Use me. And if I need to be sharpened, if I need to be put back in the fire, if I need to be dumped in the oil, which I love, then let it be. But the matter doesn't matter. When I leave here, I'm out of here. I'm gone. It's over. A new journey begins. So the first thing is, trust me. The trust is thank you. R is what? Reign in Him. Let the Holy Spirit reign. Amen. What's the other? Use me. Amen. We thank you, Father. Pray this way. You know, Lord, today, use me. Open doors for me to be used by you. Maybe you got a business. Maybe you got a job that you need wisdom on or something. Ask Him. Just say, use me, Lord. I need your wisdom. I may glorify you. The next thing, S, stands for strengthen me. You need God's strength. Ephesians 3:16 and 17 says, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his power, through his spirit, excuse me, in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So he strengthened your inner man. Amen? We're always worried about the outer man. We're always worried about what people see. We always worry about what's out here, how I dress, how I look. But the inner man is what really needs to be taken care of. When the inner man is at peace, the outward glows. When the inner man is in chaos, the outward slowly but surely gets darker and darker. Never look at the outward. I want you to know something. When Jesus was tempted, the devil offered him everything the world had to offer. Just because you get something from this world does not mean it's from God. The Spirit of God in you reveals truth to you. People will come to you all the time and say, well, we'll do this, or we'll give you that, or we'll do that. I remember when we first started in the service, we first started the church, we rented from a place and we were offered, and you got to understand, we came into the place, we had no money. I mean, we had no money. Our bank account was empty. We emptied it to pay the first month's rent on the mortgage, or on the church. And we only had enough to pay part of it. We didn't have enough to pay the whole thing. And it wasn't long after that, they came to us and said to us, listen, we're starting a bingo thing going. If you want, we'll give you Friday night and Saturday night, two best bingo nights of the week. Our responsibility was go there and wait on the people at the counter, hand out some cards or whatever. That's what the church had to do. They were guaranteeing us thousands of dollars on a weekend. Thousands of dollars on the weekend. Guaranteeing it. Matter of fact, there was a church that had a school that used to do bingo to pay for the school. They came and offered the same thing to them, and they took it. We said to them, we can't do this. It's not God. Look good. And right, I'm telling you, right at that moment, remember what he said when Jesus was being tempted? It said when he became hungry, he tempted him. Well, we were hungry for finances. We didn't have a lot of people either. We just praised God. But we knew it was wrong. Just the wrong thing. The Spirit of God, it didn't sit right. The school that took that two nights, within a year, their school was closed and never opened again. The bingo was closed too. It may look good. It may sound good. Oh, look at the blessings. Trust me, when it just because it looks good does not mean it is from God. Just know by the Spirit, yep, this is the right thing to do. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So strengthen the inner man so that you have the wisdom and you have the strength to resist temptation when it comes. Strength to stand by faith when needed. Strength to love when it seems impossible to love. Strength to believe when it seems like everything else is falling around you and you're going, I'm just too sick to believe. That's all right. The inner man can still be strong enough to resist the temptation to deny God. Colossians 1:10b and 11 says, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. We are strengthened with all might. All might of what? All might of the Holy God. All his strength he gives to us. That we may not only to endure, but to press through to victory. Because you don't want to just endure and then fail. I want to get through this and have victory over it. Amen? Now, The last T stands for teach me. He said, I'll teach you. 1 John 2:20 says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. In other words, I don't care where you're at, what you're doing, what's going on. When you're doing this on a regular basis, not just on Sunday morning, getting in touch with the Holy Spirit, not just on Wednesday night or whatever, but you're working, you're at home, you're on a car, you're out in the nowhere, you don't know where you are, you're lost, whatever it is. Father, I need your wisdom right now. I need your direction. I need you to lead me right now. Teach me where to go. Teach me what to do. I don't know what to do in this circumstance. And God will show you. I can remember when I first started in construction. I knew absolutely nothing. My father was a general foreman in the carpenters, and I still didn't know how to hold a saw. I remember coming back into this area. We had moved back here. I went to work for this outfit. They gave me a set of plans. Up to this point, anytime I did in construction was somebody tell me, go do that. I went and did that. But they would here send me a set, hand me a set of plans and say, go do this. I'd have to go out and lay it out, take readings for grades, all this stuff. I'm sitting there going, huh? I said, Lord, help me. They used to call me the preacher man. Because I would preach to them somewhat, not a lot. Now they used to say, oh, don't say that. Don't use those words around the preacher man. You say, guys, you don't hurt me. Honest, you don't bother me. It's you I worry about, not me. You can say all those things you want, do all those things you want. It's not going to affect me. But I want you to know something. There's a God who loves you. And when they got it, I found out if I trusted God, he gave me wisdom. He showed me what to do. He taught me. Nobody came alongside me and said, well, point here, this, do this. He showed me. That's what the Holy Spirit will do for you. He'll teach you. Not only will he teach you about God, remember something. I want you. When these were being written, Paul was writing to these people. All they had was the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament. They don't have what we have now. Do you understand that? These writings were just getting written. In these writings, when he was talking to the people in Corinth, and he was talking to the different people in Ephesians and Colossians, he was talking to them. They didn't have a Bible. It was being written. All they had was the Holy Spirit teaching. And what was happening, Paul was coming into their midst and he was teaching them, and he was trying to teach. When he wrote his epistle, he was writing about what they shouldn't do. Why? Because some of them got off from the Spirit and being led by the Spirit into being led by the flesh. So Paul was distinguishing between this flesh and the Spirit. That's what his writings were all about. To keep them in alignment to walk by the Spirit. Because some people come in and said, well, you know, love is we can do anything we want, or we've been saved and washed in the blood, so there's nothing we can do all things we want to do now. And so Paul was trying to tell them, look, that's the flesh talking. Here's what the Spirit said. And so what they were learning, they knew. They were being led by the Spirit. We're talking about it now. You know, the Holy Spirit goes out and does works out there without us. There are Muslims now over in the Middle East. They're having dreams and visions. And God and Jesus is coming to them in dreams and visions. And he's telling them, you've got to get saved. And so he tells them where to go. And they go and ask some person and says, can you tell me about Jesus? Yeah. Where'd you hear about him? He came to me in a dream and a vision. Holy Spirit isn't held back. He's still going to get his message across. Amen? And so when you're out there and you have a need and you don't know which way to go, which way to turn, you don't know whether you should take this loan or do that or go buy this or buy that. I told you the other day. I get in a car and we were talking about getting a car. I said, Lord, should we buy a car? He said, wait. He didn't tell me why. He just said, wait. Okay. That's the key. Ask. Ask him. Talk to him. Have a communication with him. He wants to invest in you the wisdom of God. He wants to bring into you the power of God. He wants to bring to you the very strength and knowledge that God has so that you can live this life in a powerful, effective way, not only for the kingdom of God, but for yourselves. He wants you to be a king and reign in life here on earth. That was what this was all about. But if we don't spend time with him, if we don't listen to him, if we don't talk to him, we're going to miss. Doesn't mean we're not saved. But the life you now have is so much better with the life with him. Father, we thank you this morning. We bring you glory and praise. We thank you, Father, as you continue to reveal to us. Yes, I thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that each and every one that's here this morning, Father, that you would open the eyes of their understanding, that they would know what is the hope of your calling. Father, reveal to them right now how much you love them and you care for them and you desire for them the blessings, the very blessings of Almighty God. Show them, Lord. Teach them. We thank you for that now. We praise you for that now. We give you glory for that now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You have anything now?